Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Tommy Lou Gowerd.
Start dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, dude's dogs and damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Oh, I've been working nights.
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
We all know Tommy Lugauer is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lugauer on The Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lugauer. Loogie. Phone number to call, 888-808-1019. You know, I think there's a lot of parallels between the expectations going into the season for the Knicks and the expectations going into the season for the Yankees. For the Knicks, it was finals, bare minimum. You have to make the finals. You fire Tibbs, which was not the most popular decision. You bring in Mike Brown, which was not necessarily the most popular decision. So it was a move by management, by Leon Rose, and yes, by the players to get rid of Tibbs and then bring in Mike Brown. When you make a move like that, and also the landscape of the Eastern Conference, Halliburton out with an Achilles, Tatum out with an Achilles, teams like Detroit and Orlando and Atlanta that felt like they were at least still a few years away from being serious contenders. The road was paved for the Knicks, especially when you consider their talent, their experience, their depth, and now a new lease on life with a new head coach. It was all about getting to the finals. If they had not gotten to the finals, it would be an major failure. And depending on what round they got eliminated in, major changes would have happened. Certainly the coach and perhaps personnel. Now you look at the Yankees. This is going into the year, but especially the way it has shaped up over the first 2 months. Bare minimum, the Yankees have to make it to the World Series. The American League stinks. It is downright awful. This is one of those years where the Yankees, who, like the Knicks, they did something in the offseason that people questioned. They're running it back. I was one of them. You know, I wouldn't run it back. Look what happened last year. You know, you lost in the divisional round. Now you're going to run it back. This team has holes. This team has needs. This team constantly, in October, underperforms. So why would you run it back? That was a peculiar decision. So the Yankees kind of put themselves out there, much like the Knicks did, by what the Knicks doing firing their coach, the Yankees with the running it back. And then also with the Knicks having the Eastern Conference not being that strong, and the Knicks being as good as anybody in the East going into the year, obviously the same thing with the Yankees. And now the way things are shaping up over the first couple months, it's even more of and Tampa's falling apart here. They've been playing out over their heads for months, and now they're, you know, four straight losses for Tampa, including one to the Yankees in walk-off fashion, which has now really tipped the scales back in the favor of the Yankees. And don't look now, they're only three back in the loss column. And they're red hot as they continue their domination over the Royals 14 straight. It's World Series or bust. You got to get there. And then once they get there, we have the conversation of, Now it's time for Aaron Boone, for Aaron Judge to take that next step and win the whole thing. But bare minimum, just like it was with the Knicks, got to get to the finals. Got to get to the finals. Got to get to the finals. No excuses. It would have been a major failure, a major disappointment of epic proportions, considering all of the things in the favor of the Knicks. Talent, experience, teams in the East that you think would be major threats, like in Indiana, losing their best player, Boston losing one of their best players. And then look at the Yankees here in the American League, where it is extremely weak. And there is just nobody, nobody that scares you. Nobody. And we know the success the Yankees have had in time and over the years against the Central Division. It's just, it really is setting up for the Yankees to get to the World Series. That's why, bare minimum, they have to get there. Especially with the running it back, you know, kind of hanging over their heads. The run it back Yankees, if you are. So there are definitely two parallels, or a parallel between these two teams, because of the expectations going into this season for both and how things played out as the year went on and how the year is playing out for the Yankees so far, especially the landscape of the American League. It is just it's a weak league that they need to take advantage of in a big time way. I mean, there's nobody over 500 in the American League West. Nobody. The Mariners are close. They're a game under. And I expect Seattle to ultimately win that division. I've expected that really going into this season and for the first couple months here, as Seattle has struggled. And the Yankees obviously saw the Mariners earlier, and they were able to handle them. I would think Seattle by the end of the year will have 90-plus wins and they will win the division. But they're the Mariners. They are losers until proven otherwise. I mean, they've never made the World Series in the history of their existence. So if that's the team that is standing in the Yankees' way, that's a no-sweat situation. Cleveland, who has had success against the Yankees in the postseason, obviously we remember the Alomar off of Rivera. We remember the Midges series with Jabba. But the Yankees have gotten Cleveland as much and more as the Cleveland has gotten them. And the Rays are pesky, no doubt about it, especially in Tampa. But if that's the team that you peg as, oh boy, this is going to be the roadblock, again, much like Seattle, it's a no sweat. I actually would give the Rays a better shot than I would Seattle. That's how little I think Seattle will win their division. But when you are a team that has that type of monkey on your back and you have never made the World Series, it's tough. And you face the Yankees in October, good luck with that. There is no team in the American League that's going to keep a Yankee fan up at night, Aaron Boone up at night, Brian Cashman up at night, or anybody else associated with the Yankees. Now, the Yankees do have to make some changes for sure here coming up at the deadline. The bullpen, there are other facets of it. Wells, at some point, if he doesn't get going, you got to make a decision there and move on. Third base is another spot you could look at as well. Although internally, you can go to Lombard, you can go to Volpe over there. There are ways to go about it without going outside the organization. Catcher, you're going to have to go outside the organization. And obviously, bullpen as well. And the major strength of this team, outside of the phenomenal 1-2 punch of Rice and Judge, is the starting rotation, which has only gotten better with Gerrit Cole coming back. And Cole was absolutely incredible tonight. He has been amazing in the first two starts since. And look, credit to him. I mean, this is an aging player who clearly still has a lot left in the tank. But you know what? When you're older and you're coming off a major injury, nobody would hold it against Cole if he struggled early on or didn't look like the same Gerrit Cole of old. Nobody would sit there and say, geez, what's wrong with this guy? It would be understandable, especially right out of the gate. Gerrit Cole looks as good as he's ever looked throughout his entire career in these first two starts. The velocity is up. The stuff is nasty. I mean, he was unhittable against the Royals. 10 Ks, and if he wasn't coming off a major injury, he would have pitched all night. But obviously, the Yankees are going to handle him with kid gloves.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
But when you look at this rotation, Schlittler, who is right now my pick to win the Cy Young, early in the year or right before the year started, I said, hey, you know, Schlittler might get a couple of votes for the Cy Young, which I think was giving him a ton of credit when you consider, you know, Skubal exists, Max Fried exists, and there would be, you know, really stiff competition, and he's super young. Cy Young's in the future, absolutely. But I think getting a couple of Cy Young votes in your first full season, that's a major feather in your cap. Well, now forget that. He's blown past that, and he is, in my estimation, the odds-on favorite to win it. And Cam Schlittler has pitched as well as anybody in the sport, which is remarkable. And it's really between Schlittler and Rice. Those are major, major chips and just accolades for this organization. Chips that they will not cash in, obviously. They'll keep them out there, but you know what I mean. They're not going to trade them, but they're just great players at a young age that this team scouted, developed, and both have set the scene and hit the scene at an amazing clip, which is a testament not only to both of them, but this organization. And much like with the Knicks, where they're getting, you know, contribute, where a Bridges gets unlocked or a Karl-Anthony Towns gets unlocked, and they're able to help Jalen Brunson, where it doesn't feel like, you know, this is only Jalen Brunson that can get this team across the finish line. Where with the Yankees, oh, it's only Aaron Judge could get you across the finish line. It's got to be Judge. If Judge doesn't hit, this team's not going to hit in October. They're going to go home early. Well, with the emergence of, and you always have Stanton, but with the emergence of Rice, that 1-2 punch, that really gives Aaron Boone and this team that great second option. Where when you get to October, you can protect Judge. You have Rice. You have Bellinger. You have Stanton. But in particular, Rice, because he has just been absolutely sensational this season. And that combo of Schlittler and Rice, two young pillars of this franchise, that both could have some hardware in their house before it's all said and done, not just team-wise, but individually. You know, through the first month of the season, Ben Rice was the MVP of the league. Cam Schlittler, to me, is the Cy Young of the league right now. But yes, in many ways, the Yankees are in the same position that the Knicks were in all year long and what the Knicks were in at the start of the playoffs. You got to get to the World Series, and the Knicks had to get to the finals. Now, the only difference is Aaron Boone's not going anywhere, where Mike Brown could have been out of a job. Aaron Boone has just had too much success in the Yankee brass's eyes to get rid of, especially if he makes it back to October. The only time in my brain ever in this whole run of Aaron Boone where I thought, he might get fired, might, is if they had lost last year in the wild card round of Boston. Might have. Obviously, they won game two, and Schlittler with an all-time performance in game three. So I don't think heads will roll if they don't make the World Series, but there will be harsh criticism on this team when you consider the fact that they ran it back and that the American League is so rotten. And until somebody steps up that I think is like a legitimate threat, I don't consider Seattle a legitimate threat. I don't consider the Rays a legitimate threat. I don't consider Cleveland a legitimate. I don't care if Cleveland wins 110 games. I don't consider them a legitimate threat. The Tigers are awful. They have dug such a hole that it's going to be very difficult, and they don't even have Skubal back yet. It's going to be very difficult for Detroit to get back in the mix. I'm not writing them off. They're not dead, certainly not in this era of baseball where there's a million wildcard teams. And even though you're 12 under 500 and you're scuffling, you can find a way to get yourselves back into the race. I mean, look at Cleveland last year. They lost 10 straight and won the division. So no team is really dead in the water right around the end of May. It's just not set up that way anymore with baseball. Sacramento, or the team formerly from Oakland, future in Vegas, who the Yankees will see this weekend. And they played well against the Yankees earlier this year in the Bronx. They pitched extremely well. They're better than what they used to be. They're certainly a team on the rise, but same thing. I don't consider the Sacramento, former Oakland, future Vegas Athletics as any type of major threat in October as far as the Yankees. Cleveland, I don't. Chicago White Sox, I don't. Toronto's interesting. Two games under 500. We know that they owned the Yankees last year, but that was last year. This is this year. But they have that moxie. They have a team that almost won the World Series. They had the Dodgers on the ropes in Game 6 and Game 7. So if that team emerges, if that team kind of takes the place of where the Rays are at, let's say the Rays slip and the Blue Jays kind of insert themselves, but let's say Yankees win the division, Tampa falls out of it, Toronto takes the slot that the Yankees currently hold, that will be interesting. And that's a team that you could look at and say, all right, well, they had the Yankees number last year. It's a different year, but they had it last year. And we know there are guys on that Blue Jay team, when they see the pinstripes, their eyes light up. I mean, George Springer, it doesn't matter what uniform he puts on, he sees the Yankees and it's on. Ernie Clement, same thing. Owns the Yankees. So there's a couple players, Vlad Jr., you know how he feels about the organization. So there's something there with them. But they have their own mess that they have to dig out of, as they have struggled to get to the 500 mark. But they can match Thunder with the Yankees, and I don't think they're intimidated. And I don't think Tampa is either. Seattle would be. Cleveland would be. Tampa's not intimidated by the Yankees, but I just wonder out loud if they have the firepower to match them. And that includes throughout the year. Because if Tampa were to be a major threat and get by the Yankees, they would have to win the division, Tampa. They'd have to. They'd have to have home field over the Yankees. That is so important. If the Yankees win the division and they see Tampa, they're beating Tampa. If Tampa wins the division, a little bit different story, because we know the Trop can be a house of horrors for the Yankees. And strange things happen down there to the Yankees, because the Rays, they're good in close ball games. They put the ball in play. They have speed, defense, the whole nine. The fundamentals, small ball. That's really what Tampa has to do out of necessity. So really, step one here, and I felt this way with the Knicks, and I'll put my hand up. It ended up not being an issue, but I all year was like, I want the Knicks to get the one seed. I want them to get the one seed. I want home court throughout. Now, they didn't get the one seed, but they had home court throughout. It's hard to have foreseen that the Celtics would not get out of their matchup and Detroit would not get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I certainly did not see that coming. Now, with the way the Knicks are playing, wouldn't have mattered. They would have steamrolled and embarrassed Boston. I would have been here for it. In fact, there's about a week before the finals. If the Celtics are game, I would say, you know what? Best of three, Knicks versus the Celtics. If the Celtics win, you could have our slot, because you have no shot. No shot. Zero. And all the Boston big mouths that hate the Knicks, I would have loved to have had them have to eat that crow again for the second straight year. But that didn't end up happening, because they couldn't even get by the gutless Sixers. And Detroit, who I do respect and I do think will be a team if they get a second star, can be a problem for the Knicks in the future. Absolutely. Like, if you're telling me, okay, going forward, the Knicks, what is the team that you kind of fear the most, or fear is the wrong word, who you respect the most or think would be the biggest challenge for the Knicks in the future? Obviously, Indiana. And I think Detroit, if they make the right roster decisions, it's critical that they get a second star with Cade. If they don't, then they will be a flawed team. Boston, I think, has had their run. They got a lot of problems that they got to fix. Orlando, it's always injuries. They can't hit a jump shot. Atlanta's good. They still have to make a big step or two to be in the big boy league. Although, credit to them, they beat the Knicks twice. Which, right now, they should get a trophy for that. The way the Knicks have absolutely boat raced the teams in front of them. But as we sit here about, well, a little less than a week from the NBA Finals starting up, and we still don't have an opponent. We might have one in 24 hours as OKC takes on San Antonio in San Antonio up 3-2. Perhaps when we're sitting here tomorrow night, you know, 24 hours from now, we'll know. But right now we don't. So there's a little bit of that feeling because I do think there is a major difference between seeing the Spurs and seeing OKC. And we'll get into that more later on in the show. So right now you just have to operate on what the Knicks are doing and how great they're playing. But I do think the Yankees and Yankee fans can kind of take what happened here with the Knicks and apply it to their own team, which is look at the American League. It stinks. Look at our team. We're really, really, really good. And much like the Knicks, the Yankees could have the, and it's over 162. This is more common for sure. But there are nights where you watch the Yankees and you're like, ugh. And then there are other nights where they're putting up 15 runs and they're smashing the Royals and they leave them in the waste. And they look as good as any team in the league. So they have a little bit of that roller coaster feel. But you know on any given night, and the key is, much like what the Knicks have done here, same thing with the Yankees, is stringing them together at the proper time, which is October. And for the Knicks, it was obviously here in April and May, and now leading into June. But there are similarities. And the pressure. Look, there's not pressure on job security, that's for sure. You know, Cashman's not going anywhere. Boone's not going anywhere. But there's always an immense amount of pressure because of the drought. For Yankee standards, they're on a drought. And also the fact that, listen, it's a global brand. There are billions of Yankee fans. And they have the highest of standards, even though I think they've lowered them a little bit with this administration. But when I say lowered, I mean they've lowered it like a notch, not like they've lowered it like, well, you know, whatever. We have all these championships. It's all good. No, 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 not that, not like that. But they've lowered it a little bit here because of the frustrations with Cashman and Boone. Take a pick which one they're more frustrated with. But there's always a ton of pressure. But the great thing is you still have as good as any player in the league on your team. You have an emerging rising star, not only as a position player in Ben Rice, as a pitcher in Cam Schlittler. Your rotation is as good as anybody in the league. You have holes, but I believe that Brian Cashman will fix them, whether it's internally or going outside the organization. And when you look down the road, much like the Knicks, all year, we said, who's going to be that team? Is it going to be Detroit? And if you listen to me throughout all these months here on After Hours, I repeatedly told you they match up great with Boston, have no worries there. Any team they would see early, like an Orlando, Atlanta, Philly, not going to sweat those. And even Detroit, despite the fact that Detroit completely waxed the Knicks throughout the season, I said the playoffs are going to be a different animal. It's going to be a different monster. The Knicks, I'm not saying they took it easy throughout the regular season, but Detroit went all out in those games against the Knicks. All out. Those were circle the calendars. We're going to just put max effort. It's personal. We want to get our lick back. We want to get our respect, not only from the Knicks, but around the league. Because the Detroit Pistons, I'm sure, felt like we should have beat the Knicks last year. You know, a couple calls go our way. We would have been advancing to the next round. So I think they held that as a grudge all year long. So they weren't really a true one seed. Like, we're being honest, if the Knicks played the brand of basketball that they probably could have played all year long, they would have been the one seed. Didn't matter, because they ended up getting home court and would have beat these teams anyway. Boston, they would have just completely annihilated. And Detroit, perhaps it would have been a tough series, but the Knicks would have won, and it wouldn't have went seven. But even with that, and even looking back on the stuff I said about the Knicks and how I wanted them to get the one seed, I still think the Yankees, it would be in their best interest to win the division, have home field, because if Tampa wins, and the Yankees see them down the line with Tampa having the home field, that would scare me. Not terrify me, but it would scare me. Because when I look at any team that they could face and an opposing park, the Trop is just, it's haunted. It could give the Yankees problems, and it's given them problems. And then, of course, monitoring what's going on with Toronto. But I'm telling you, Seattle, you are a losing franchise until you're no longer one. And to do it at the hands of the Yankees or at the expense of the Yankees, I don't see it. I really don't. Ultimately, they will win the division, the Mariners will. I think 90-plus wins, something along those lines. Even with the slow start, they're a game under 500. Here we are 2 months into the season. They just have too much talent, too much pitching. I think it'll ultimately rise to the top. But I'm not scared of anybody, unless it's Tampa, because it's specific. Like, I'm not scared of the Rays, but I would be a little bit scared if it's Tampa with the home field. I think that could potentially trip up the Yankees, but it better not, because much like the Knicks, bare minimum getting to the finals for the Yankees, bare minimum, you got to get to the World Series. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. So a little mix there, Knicks and Yankees in the open. So if you want to talk Knicks, if you want to talk Yankees, hit me up now at 888-808-1019. Coming up later in the show, we will talk Mets as they stopped their losing streak yesterday. They'll get a day off until they host the Marlins over the weekend. So we'll talk big picture with the Mets. We'll talk about the future of Mendoza, the future of Stearns, whether or not Steve Cohen should address the fan base, whether it's on social media, whether it's on this radio station, whether it's with beat reporters. We will, and I will give my opinion on whether or not Steve Cohen needs to say something on some type of platform to his audience, to the Met fans. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. And my buddy, John Jastrzemski, will join me in the 1 o'clock hour as well. We'll talk Knicks, we'll talk Yankees, we'll talk Mets. We'll talk a lot of different things with JJ. That's coming up next hour. But for now, your calls. 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. It is Lugie in the Late Night. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters. And we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
12:31 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get to those calls in just 1 second. But first, The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. Paul Goldschmidt. Just a guy that's so steady. You know, he reminds you of those players in the 90s that were on the Yankees that were a former star. And, you know, Paul Goldschmidt is a borderline Hall of Famer. He's had a terrific career. But he's not in his prime anymore. That being said, he is so valuable to this team. And through all the running it back, like, I didn't agree with the Grisham situation, you know, offering the qualifying offer. You know, the Yankees were caught with their pants down with that one. But the Goldschmidt move, I was like, oh, that's a good one. Because not only as a guy in the clubhouse, you know, a leader of this team, one of the leaders, obviously, you know, with Judge being at the top of the list. But Goldschmidt, especially against left-handers, I mean, he's Barry Bonds. He's Aaron Judge. He's Ohtani. He's Soto. I mean, against left-handed pitching, Paul Goldschmidt is just lethal. And the Yankees as a team against left-handing pitching, which used to be an issue of theirs. That used to be a way to kind of attack the Yankees is with left-handers. They were vulnerable to that. Now, they see a lefty, and they see red, and they go right through it. And Goldschmidt's one of the big reasons why, as he continues to mash lefties. Now, Goldschmidt, as a leadoff hitter, which he did a lot last year, he is kind of now settled into that role, you know, a little bit of a leadoff hitter, especially with the stuff with Grisham. He's terrific in that spot because you know you're going to get a professional at bat. You know he can mash lefties, borderline Hall of Famer, and he's just going to be a professional up there. So I like Goldschmidt in that spot. Always have. Last year on Evan and Tiki, we did our who is going to lead off the most for the Yankees predictions, and I picked Goldschmidt because of all the things that I just laid out. He's a pro. He has speed even for a first. I mean, that was one of the big reasons why he's a borderline Hall of Famer, because not only did he have the batting average and the power, but he also had tremendous speed for somebody who plays first base, or really for anybody. He is just a wonderful guy to have on your roster. I wanted to see him get more at-bats, more at-bats, more at-bats, because you trust him. Not to hit 300, but you trust him that every time he goes to the plate, he's not going to embarrass himself. He's certainly not going to bat 176. He's really good in the field. And even though he's not the borderline Hall of Famer level where he was in his prime, you could do a heck of a lot worse, that's for sure. And he has been a really good addition to this team over the last couple of years. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Sean in Oldbridge here on The Fan. What's up, Sean?
Loogie!
What do you hear? What do you say, Sean? What's going on?
I'm doing okay. I hope you had a good evening yourself.
I had a very pleasant Loogie evening. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, it's great to hear. And how about the Yankees getting the sweep as I predicted? I definitely predicted that for
you.
Sure.
Did you did, Sean? And how about the turnaround? And you remember last week here on After Hours, I said this was a pivotal weekend and stretch for the Yankees, because going into the weekend, they were, what, 7, I think, back in the loss column against a Tampa, or maybe it might have been 8, 7 or 8, and they were facing the Rays. And I said, look, right, if they have a bad weekend and they can kind of go in their usual stumble in June, you know, this could get out of reach here for them for the division. Well, fast forward a week later, they split because one game got rained out against Tampa, obviously the walk-off on Sunday with Aaron Judge hitting the home run to right field. And ever since then, the Rays can't win, the Yankees can't lose, and now the Yankees are 3 back in the loss column, and they are sitting very pretty as they head out to Sacramento to take on the A's. And Tampa is now got to figure out if they can get themselves off the schneid, or this is the start of a very long losing streak, and this is an opportunity for the Yankees to then pass them in the division.
Yeah, like, how crazy is that? A very crazy turn of events happens. So
well, not to sound like the late, great John Sterling, but that's baseball. But it is, because it's a 162, it's a marathon, and that's why I always preach this, whether it's the Mets or the Yankees, is that things can change so quickly with baseball. One week, it can make a drastic difference. If one team that's in front of you loses 4 or 5 in a row, and you win 4 or 5 in a row, just like that, you gain 4 or 5 games, and it's a totally different picture.
Yeah, that is agreeable. And I think I still have an interesting nickname for you.
Yeah, what do you got?
I'm going to try and see if it counts.
Okay, what do you got?
Tommy the Tasmanian.
Tommy?
Or Tasmanian Tommy.
You know what? I think Tasmanian Tommy is better. For most of my nicknames, I think we put Tommy in front of it, but not all of them. Obviously, positive Tommy. But when it's, you know, Tommy the Rationalizer, Tommy the Family Man, Tommy the Visionary, Tommy the Pothole Slayer. You know, we put Tommy in front of the nickname. But in this situation, I think Tasmanian Tommy works. And I would assume it's because I'm always amped up and have a lot of energy. I actually took a nap today at 4 o'clock, which I'm not thrilled about. I just went onto the couch and I did the couch. You know, you have those couches that just take you away. I mean, you lay on the couch and you just know that the couch is going to put you to sleep because it's so damn comfortable. Well, that's what happened to me. And the worst naps are when, first of all, they go too long, because a nap should really be like 5 or 10 minutes. It should never be, maybe 15 max. You know, people are like, I just napped. How long? 3 hours. And that's not napping, that's sleeping. A nap should always be about 10, 15 minutes. But it was one of those situations where I was in and out of the nap, so to speak. And then it was like around 4 o'clock, and then I looked down at my phone, and it was like 5:30. I was like, damn it, I'll be up all night. I mean, I'm literally up all night, but I can't be up. I don't want to be up till 8, 9 in the morning. You know how weird that is? Plus, I got to work tomorrow at 7. Or today, later today. So the nap wasn't great. But you might get more of the Tasmanian tonight because I should have more energy. Unless that was just a sign that I'm really tired and I need more sleep, which is certainly possible. 888-80. So if I take a nap at any moment here, that's okay. We'll have that air. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Queens. Chris is on the fan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris, Tommy, great show. Thank you for taking the call.
You got it.
My point is just really, you know, if we match up against OKC, I'm not sure if we're, you know, man for man going to match up with them as good as we should. I think we have great chemistry. But my point is, if we do get the chip, I'm still pulling the trigger on Giannis if we have a shot at him.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that, Chris. That's not something that I would do. Absolutely not. I'm telling you right, I'll just say it this way, and I'm glad you set it up that way. And I'll say this. I'm not going after Giannis win or lose. I'm not. This team has earned the right to run it back because they made it to the finals. You know, they took the next step. The progression is there. They made it to the finals. Now, next year, if they don't, then we could have a conversation, and Giannis will probably be on a different team. But oh well, Giannis needs the Knicks more than the Knicks need Giannis. I don't see Giannis working for so many levels. I don't think he would mesh well with Brunson. They both want to have the ball in their hands, bring it up the court. I don't like that fit, and I don't want to gut this team. You want to get rid of Bridges the way he's playing? You want to get rid of Karl Anthony Towns? No way. OG? Absolutely not. For an aging Giannis who has deficiencies, especially on the offensive side, and can be a liability, no way. No way. Now, if they win the championship, you might be able to just sneak it in on me, and I'll be like, oh, well, they won the championship. But still, certainly not if they lose. That's for sure. And if they win, obviously, I want to win another one. And see this team, because what makes this team special, in my eyes, is they didn't go the route of, well, we got to get a Giannis. We got to get a KD or Kyrie or LeBron. And I'm talking about those guys like when they were in their prime. You brought in Brunson, who at the time was not a superstar. And a lot of people, myself included, now got to eat their words, but it was true. It just, it's one of those things when you say it at the time, yes, it's true, but it ages poorly, like milk. Because Jalen Brunson is 1,000% a star. And I realized that very quickly, that he was. But sometimes you got to see it day in, day out to appreciate somebody. But their key piece here, the guy that they brought in to just change everything. And I don't even know if that was the intention when they brought in Brunson. You know, if you gave Leon Rose a truth serum, I don't know. It was probably more like, hey, we're going to get a point guard. This guy had success with Dallas, won a series with Luka out, the whole thing. You know, he could bring a stability to a position that we haven't had stability in years. That was probably what the mindset was. And then Brunson, I think, exceeded everybody's expectations. If you're a Knicks fan and you thought Brunson was going to be this when they signed him, get serious. No way. Not this great. Not to be where he is, arguably, and many would argue it, the king of New York. Slowly getting into the conversation, or not even slowly, rapidly, I should say, getting into the conversation of a Mount Rushmore Knicks player, which I still wouldn't put him there, but he's in the conversation, and there are some that would already have him there. And then with Brunson, obviously bringing in an OG, a Hart, Cat, Bridges, you know, they didn't have to go the, let's have the super team and let's bring this star in and these guys are in cahoots. And then they talk about it at the All-Star game. And then in the offseason, they sign with the same team. They didn't go that route. And I think that's why this Knicks team, not only by us, which is the most important thing, by New Yorkers, by Knicks fans, we are so much in love with them because they don't necessarily fit the profile of some of these teams that, you know, win championships. They don't have a Wembanyama. They don't necessarily have a guy that it's like, oh, this is a generational, a freak, talented, a joker, somebody that, or even a Giannis, certainly in his prime. They don't have that player. They do have a superstar in Brunson, but he is, number one, in a lot of ways, overlooked and disrespected, but also, he's not in the conversation. He is, but he's not put in the conversation with like the top 10 players in the sport. People are not ready to open up the gate and let him in to that conversation. They're going to have no choice if he wins the championship, then they have to, or perhaps they'll find a way not to, but the real ones will know where he stands if he wins a championship, not only in the lore of Knick lore, of New York City lore, but also around the league, especially if they knock off the defending champs, which in all likelihood, that's the team they're going to see. I prefer San Antonio, which I'll lay out later on why, but I think it's going to be OKC. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Steve is in Edison, New Jersey here on After Hours. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how are you, Tommy?
I'm doing great.
I want to talk about Nick's chemistry, but before then, my friend asked me to invite you to be the best man at his wedding, Moses Lynch.
Hold on a second.
And he prepared a song.
Wait, hold on a second. You're telling me your friend wants me to be the best man at his wedding? Now, it's one thing, too, because I've been invited to weddings. It's one thing to say, hey, Loogie, would you like to attend our wedding? You know, and maybe you have a backstory to it. You're telling me your friend wants me to be the best man at the wedding?
I want to tell you, the appetizer is lasagna. He's crazy into you. He made up a song.
I love
the
lasagna.
It's called Tommy Time to Dance. I have a song. He made a song. It's, I want to be like Tommy on the radio. I want Tommy Lugaro to come to my wedding.
You know what?
I want him to sing with me the entire wedding. If I continue?
You know what? I would say this. I would work on that song, but I'm flattered that your friend and you guys would want me to be part of the wedding. The song needs a little bit of work. I would try to rhyme it a little more, because I think in that first line you could have rhymed it with
fan. Tommy Lugauer at my wedding, coming down for a best friend. Yeah, he's the best man at the wedding.
Yeah, not great. But here's the deal, though. I think there's something there, though, to make it good. So I would say this, Steve. You got time, you know, work on it. When's he getting married? When is this wedding going down?
2 weeks from Sunday.
2 weeks from Sunday? And you want me to be the best man? You're giving me 2 weeks' notice? The Knicks are in the finals. I got a lot going on here. I don't know if my schedule will allow it. Where's it? How long has he been engaged for? How long has he known the wedding's going on?
About 6 months.
6 months. Okay. So, I mean, you know, perhaps 5 months or earlier would have been nice. 2 weeks is a little bit short notice.
You're too scared that you're going to reject him.
Well, it's, listen.
So he waited and he sent me.
Yeah, he sent you to do his bidding. I understand that.
He's serving lasagna.
Well, listen, you know, here's the deal. If I can't make it, I certainly would like some lasagna, that's for sure. The problem here is, Steve, and it pains me to say this, is that you're giving me 2 weeks' notice, and plus the Knicks are in the finals. So I can't make any type of commitments to that level when my basketball team is still playing basketball. I do appreciate it. I love the fact that, you know, you guys want me there as the best man. You're serving a lasagna, as I would assume, during the cocktail hour, or is this going to be more of a main at the reception?
There's been the entire wedding lasagna. Lou cocktails.
Yeah, I like that.
Tasmanian Tommy stickers.
Yep. Love it. It's going to be a great
man, Tommy.
Family man.
Merch.
Yeah, merch. Well, you know,
generational talent.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to sell merch there. I don't think we want to, like, you know, make the people.
No, we're
guests.
Giving out.
Oh,
an
giving
autograph,
out.
Tommy.
Autograph. Now I'm doing work. Yeah.
The gown. The gown is having pictures of Tommy on it.
Gotcha. Well, listen, Steve. It sounds like a great Luke evening. And I appreciate you want me to sort of be almost the master of ceremonies there as the best man. And it sounds like it's a Lugauer or a Lugie-themed wedding, which may be a little weird, but I certainly appreciate it. That's for sure. Unfortunately, my schedule will not allow it. Because not only with the Knicks, where it's just, and obviously the Mets and just sports in general, my job, the whole thing. I have a very, very, very busy schedule. Like, for instance, stare into the abyss, solve world hunger, tell no one, wallow in self-pity, a dinner with myself. I mean, I can't cancel that again. So I have so much things going on and so many things going on that it would make it near impossible for me to be the best man at your Lugetting. But I appreciate the Lugauer theme. Very much appreciate that. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. Loogie here in the late night. Let's go to Phil in Sheepshead Bay. What's going on, Phil?
Hey, Tommy.
Hey.
Tommy, number one, I want to speak about OKC.
Of course.
They mentioned on one of the shows earlier today on WFAN, This guy is a flopper.
He's a foul merchant. A flopper.
Yeah. Now, if they can't control him and they allow him to get away 15 to 20 times at the line, I think it's insane, because even Brunson was accused of doing some of that. He only goes to the line maybe 5-6 times.
Yeah, nobody is worse than SGA. He is the biggest offender of this stuff. Absolutely.
And not just, he throws himself down. I saw it. And they can't pick that up. That's ridiculous.
When you say they, you mean the
refs,
officials.
The refs.
Listen, if you sell it well, this is what I would say. If you are SGA and you are selling it well and you're getting the whistle, you're going to continue to do it. You'd be dumb not to do it. That's kind of his game. He's obviously a great free throw shooter. He's just got a great shooter in general. And you saw the other night, Phil, it got him going. He got these horrible to start game.
Yeah,
five,
I know.
But
he wasn't
got to the line
that great. Yeah, right.
Right, but he got to the line and then he finished with 28 points. It's good. It's
yeah.
not. You know what? Here's the deal, Phil. It's not so much you can't worry about what the officials are going to do. The Knicks, they have to be disciplined. They have to
contain them somehow.
Correct. They have to just be smart. And they can't pick up bad fouls, because if you're going to get near this guy, he's going to flop. In all likelihood, they're going to call fouls on him, and then you're going to have guys that are important in foul trouble.
Okay, talking about containment, I want to mention one more point.
Mm-hmm.
SGA has a guy named Dort.
Yes.
Now, if this guy is not, he's worse than Stewart and Durant from Detroit. This guy is like could be a middle linebacker.
He's very
playing
physical.
Basketball.
Very physical.
They somehow got to get on this guy. Because this guy is very physical.
Yeah, he's going to be one of the guys they throw at Brunson. They're going to throw J-Dub if he's healthy at Brunson. Let me put it to this way, Phil. It doesn't matter who they see, whether it's OKC or whether it's San Antonio. The defense is going to be in another league than what they've seen so far. And the physicality, especially against Brunson, is going to be ratcheted up big time, whether it's OKC or San Antonio.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Okay, let's go, Nick.
Love it. Yep. Sorry to cut you off there, Phil. I thought the Let's Go Knicks was you kind of sticking the landing there. You were being a. I love you, Phil, but you're being a little bit of a pig there. I mean, I felt like you had your last line, and then you felt like you had to get a little more. You went in for an extra scoop of pasta there. It's like, come on, you know, you got a little bit of a schnorr. I mean, you got the one scoop in, and then you went two scoops, then you got the three scoops. You kind of made your point with the Let's Go Knicks, and then you went for another one. I had to say, come on, that's enough. And I love you, Phil. You know, I'm just joking, but listen. In terms of the physicality, Jalen Brunson has had a, outside of Atlanta, very smooth sailing here throughout the playoffs. The Knicks in general. But they have played two soft teams, two teams that are not going to give them issues. Like Philly, you knew going in the series, they would have no answer for Brunson defensively. None whatsoever. You knew that Cleveland would have no answer for Brunson. And the fact that James Harden, the sports loser, was the guy guarding Brunson during that epic 22-point comeback tells you all you need to know about Cleveland. The Knicks are not going to find that type of just ease, whether it's San Antonio or OKC, because you're talking about two outstanding defensive teams, two tough teams that are going to be able to throw big bodies at Brunson. But yeah, Phil, you brought up two great points there. That one and also the SGA flopping, the foul merchant stuff. It is extremely difficult as an opponent of the Thunder to navigate those waters. Extremely difficult. He gets the whistle. He's the two-time reigning MVP. He won a chip last year. He's going to get the whistle. I'm not comparing him to Michael Jordan in any way, but when Jordan was around, you know, he would get the whistles. The stars of the league get the whistles. He takes it to a different level because of the fouling or foul merchant. Or excuse me, the flopping or being a foul merchant, which is more of a newer term. Basically, it's like he's a pro wrestler. The contact is minimal, but he makes it seem like he was broken in half. And especially when he's struggling, like he's been struggling in this series, he is going to do that to get to the line because he thinks it'll get him going. And it did the other night. It got him going. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Mary in Brooklyn here on After Hours. What's going on, Mary?
How's it going, Tommy?
It's going great. Thanks.
I never laughed so hard in my life at that wedding. Oh, my God.
Well, Mary, you know, it's one of those things where I expected them to say, well, you know, the wedding is in 8 months, 5 months. And then I could say, all right, let me look down the road, get back to me. 2 weeks. I mean, it might as well be this weekend. Why don't you give me less notice? 2 weeks is tight, especially during the Knicks being in the finals for the first time in 27 years.
Yeah, very excited about that, obviously. But on what you said, like, in the beginning, afternoon naps are the worst. And I'm like, always exhausted. I'm young. I'm still in school. And I'm exhausted when I come from a long day of school, sometimes like 5, 6. And then I just take a nap, and then I wake up at like 8:30, and I'm like, oh, damn.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Well,
like especially too, Mary, I'm sure you got to get up earlier for school. So I have, as you know, a weird schedule. So for me, 4 o'clock is, it's almost like the equivalent of somebody's, you know, 11 or 12. So it is kind of like that early afternoon nap. My biggest fear, though, is that I won't be able to go to sleep tonight when I get home around 6, 6:30, and I'm up till 8, 9, and then I might sleep in. I got to be back here by 7 tomorrow, so, or later on today. So I'm just a little bit worried about that situation. And like you said, naps, you wake up and you don't feel great. I went for a run immediately after it because I'm like, I feel like crap. I'm going to go take a run. Not that I'm sick, but I just feel like the nap did me in.
Yeah, my schedule is, just great, listening to the fan until 5 a.m., going to sleep for about 2.5 hours and taking a nap at, 7 to 8:30 or whatever. So that is definitely a very good
schedule. Well, Mary, you got a future when you get out of school to be in this business, because that's basically what this business is. You work a lot, you sleep very little, you take naps, and then you're up all hours of the night. So you're kind of fit for the sports talk radio business or just the media business.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to say that, how about Anthony Volpe?
Yeah.
Saying, honestly, almost every Yankee fan really had faith in him. We knew he wasn't hitting well in the minors, and he comes up and he's hitting like 280 or whatever he's hitting now. Doesn't swing at a lot of pitches out of the zone.
He's only hitting 257, but he's hitting a lot better than I think a lot of people expected. Hitting like a good 257. Volpe has played well. That's for sure.
Yeah, we need playing time for him, and I think we get McMahon on the bench and Rosario, Jazz, Caballero in left was a very smart move by Boone. I think giving Grisham a day off, 2 days off straight. But Grisham a day off and Cabby in left, and then Rosario and Volpe there, and yep. I think it was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, look, it was as perfect, and I appreciate the call, Mary, as series as you could ask for the Yankees. Topped off by Gerrit Cole looking like Gerrit Cole in his prime, not a aging Gerrit Cole that's coming off a serious injury in his second start. And that, to me, is extremely promising for the Yankees. And they haven't had the dream scenario yet, which is Schlittler, Fried, Cole. But Fried avoiding the major injury, Cole now back from injury. You as a Yankee fan, or Boone or Cashman or anybody associated with the Pinstripes, has to be salivating at the idea, not just regular season, more importantly in October, of throwing those three guys, and even Warren's been great, but those three in particular, and those three specifically, give the Yankees a major advantage. Major. To the point where you'd like to think, even if the bullpen doesn't get to where you need it to be, you might be all right, because those guys can go 7-8 innings in October, which would limit the exposure of your bullpen. But the idea of Schlittler, and I told you, by the way, before the year, he'd be the best, most dominant pitcher in the staff, which he is. Fried and Cole, that is a dynamite 1-2-3 punch. The best in baseball. And it gives the Yankees a significant leg up in that department, no matter who they face. Because you are getting an ace in the first three games of any postseason series. No other team has got that going for them. They do. Certainly no team they're going to see in the American League. Which is why, and that's one of the reasons I brought it up to open the show, much like the Knicks, where it was, you got to get to the finals. That's bare minimum. You got to get there. Same thing with the Yankees here. Bare minimum, they got to get to the World Series. Anything short of that would be a major failure and a massive disappointment when you consider the rotation. Aaron Judge, another year of his prime would then be wasted. Or perhaps a better way to phrase it is not fulfilling the ultimate goal, which is winning a championship. So it'd be another year where Judge is now closer to retiring and he still hasn't won a championship. And then, of course, the American League being extremely weak. It's World Series or bust. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get to those calls for sure. Coming up, though, my buddy John Jastrzemski from SNY, the podcast New York, New York, will join me. We'll talk Knicks. We'll talk Yankees. We'll talk Mets. Got a lot of things I want to talk to JJ about. He will join me coming up next here in the 1 a.m. hour. The phone number, if you want to hop on now to get ready to talk to me later, is 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.